Thank you, Sherry, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to add to what Sherry said, that I'm a convert into public health. My basic background was into lab genetics until I discovered public health and fell in love with it. So this is my first time attending APHA, and it's going good so far. Today, I'll be talking to you about the social context of hypertension management among African Americans. I'll be talking about photo-voice methodology, what it is, and how it can be used as a tool for critical reflection of self, illness, and community. How do you use this? Okay. All right. Got it. So I'm working on Project HYPE, which is an NIH-funded project. It's a 5-year-long community engagement project. And this project is divided into 3 different stages. In stage 1 of the project, we identified the social contextual factors that affect hypertension management using photo voice. With the help of the factors identified in phase 1, we will train community residents to become hypertensionally health advisors in phase 2. And then in phase 3, we'll perform a randomized controlled trial to test the effectiveness of using lay health advisors with hypertensive patients. Okay. So what is photo voice? Photo voice is exactly what it sounds like, expressing your voice through pictures. And it's a grassroots approach that goes beyond traditional focus groups and incorporates picture taking and then discussion of these pictures to address the research question and bring the community perspective forward. The theoretical framework of photo voice is based on Paulo Freire's approach to education through critical consciousness. I would like to mention that if you guys pay attention to the backgrounds of these slides, because these are actual photo voice pictures taken by the participants. I know they're not that clear, but if you just sort of look at them. So how did we do photo voice? We randomly selected 20 patients from 3 community-based clinics. These community-based clinics were serving neighborhoods that were mostly African-American and low-income populations. Before the project even started, we had face-to-face informed consent sessions, which helped in relationship building. Then we divided the 20 participants into 3 groups. Each group met 4 times, and each session was around 3 to 4 hours long. Before the participants went out and took pictures, they had a training session on the ethics, power, and use of cameras. They came together as a group and discussed and brainstormed about different factors in their daily lives which negatively or positively impact their blood pressure. And one thing that I'd like to, and then they went out and took the pictures, they came back and then discussed these pictures. The discussion of these pictures was very important because it helped them in developing the narrative, it helped them in verbalizing the causes and creating links on how these pictures affect their hypertension. And they were important not only to the individual participants, but they were also important to the other people in the group because these same pictures acted as a stimulus, and because everyone in the group was from the same ethnicity and from the same socioeconomic status, so they were facing a lot of similar issues. So by the help of these discussions, they were able to relate to each other, and these discussion groups kind of acted like support groups for them, and at the same time, they talked about the hypertension and how these pictures related to them. I'd like to mention here that we had 100% retention rate, even though these were intense 4-hour-long sessions, and this was a really different thing for us. And our participants said things like, I could not go to sleep at night because I was so excited to come to this session. I canceled my family vacation. It has been postponed to later because I did not want to miss a session. And as much as I'd like to take the credit for that, but the reality of the situation is that it was a group cohesiveness because this was a different experience for them. They came together. It was an outlet. Indirectly, it became a support group. They could relate to each other. They were excited about taking pictures. This was a new thing they were doing. It was like they became a part of something that was much bigger than what they had gone through before. Some of the major themes that emerged through these discussions, and these discussions were held with the participants, obviously, and they are the ones who came up with these themes, were environment and community factors, culture, ethnicity, race, and gender, lifestyle, social support, economic factors, and then there were pictures that did not fall into any of these 5 categories, so they came in other factors. I will go ahead and discuss a few of the photo-based pictures. This is a picture taken by a participant, and he obviously, it's his narrative and his headline. He says, "When it rains, it pours." It all started in 1991 when sickness hit. When it rains, it pours. It was a challenge because after I lost my arm, I had to go down there and to apply for disability. And they told me no. Even though I lost my arm there, he still let me come back. So I didn't really lose my job. What I ended up losing was myself. This participant lost his arm while working at a steel mill. And by the end of these photo voice sessions, when he started with these photo voice sessions, he was wearing his prosthetic arm that is mentioned in the picture. At the end of these photo voice sessions, he mentioned that he has found a new confidence in himself and he does not need to wear that prosthetic arm at all times. He also started continuing his education and he started taking computer classes. At death's door. This is a picture taken by a participant who told of a neighborhood killing, a killing that took right next to his house, and the associated stress with it. Every time I look at this picture myself, I get chills. Daily dosage. This participant takes 100 pills every day. This is what she says. "I take too many. It's a stress factor because I'm tired of taking them. It's also a good factor because I know I need them and I can save my life. I take like 100 a day." Ducking and dodging. This picture speaks volumes, and I'll read the quote that goes, the narrative that goes with it, but it has so many different themes embedded in just one picture. "Oh God, the potholes. Potholes are depressing to me. Potholes mean money. Potholes mean money I don't have. Part of my problem is hitting them and messing my car up. Paying, trying to come up with money that I don't have to try to fix my car. Go out there to Beechwood somewhere. You'll never find a pothole up there, you know? I mean, it's sad." What she talks about here is an environmental factor that is causing economic stress. At the same time, she's comparing it to a rich neighborhood. She talks about Beechwood, which is a rich neighborhood, and she's saying that you will never find it over there. This is what we face. They don't face them. So there is a distinct boundary. There's a distinction between what people from different socioeconomic statuses face. We displayed around 100 of these photo-based pictures in an exhibition at Metro Health Medical Center. Around 175 people attended, ranging from healthcare professionals to community, to other community residents, researchers, policymakers. It was covered by newspapers, radio, television, and just in the interest of time, I'll just read two of the three quotes here. "Enjoyed presentation very much. Make me appreciate what I have in my life. Everyone has stress, and many have hypertension. But the everyday things these people face is unbelievable. Thank you for the candid honesty." Another evaluation form had this other quote. "You and your team give research a whole new image. Congrats on what is an obvious, successful, and worth project." Lessons, the most important part. So for the basic thing that came forward in all the discussion sessions with all the three groups was the relationship between stress and hypertension. And despite all the biomedical models out there, it is a reality, and it's in patients' words, in these participants, that's what they're saying, that be it occupational, environmental, social, cultural, it's all this stress that boils down and the lack of resources that these participants have to manage this stress. So for most of the participants, it just boils down to as simple as hypertension equals stress. It's just clear cut like that. And then another thing is that managing stress and anger, they face all these things in the daily life, and it's not like they wake up thinking about them or they go to sleep thinking about them, but it is constantly there. So it's all the pent up frustration. Most of them don't even let it out. It's all bottled up inside. And there are various studies out there who show the direct correlation between between hypertension and suppressed hostility. This is what some of the patients said. Race, gender, and income. That is another thing that they talked about extensively. One of the participants called herself a double negative. She said that not only am I African American, but I'm a woman as well. The two things that are working against me. Also, there was another participant who talked about how his boss thinks that he is only capable of packing boxes, while his white coworker with the same education and same level of experience can go into customer service. Another thing, the socioeconomic status, that is also very important, and it is a daily thing. There is daily life reality of them. Despite all these overwhelming odds, most of our participants were still determined. They were still working really hard. And this coping, stress coping mechanism is known as John Henryism. And what it is that despite the overwhelming odds and extreme stress, people still cope up with the situation, and this constant psychosocial stress is there, and if it goes on there for a prolonged period of time, there have been an increased rate of prevalence of hypertension in these people. So now with the help of these pictures, the participants were able to create links. They had this critical consciousness that before, when they used to look at a pothole, it was a frustration. It was just something there, but now they, and maybe it was economic stress, but now they started relating it to hypertension. So now the question to us as researchers was that we helped them creating in these links. What's the next step? What's the follow-up? They asked us, where do we go on from there? Did we raise anxiety levels in them by creating and clarifying this whole situation? And what is our ethical responsibility? How do we go on from there? And what is their immediate gift back? Because they're obviously not waiting for research papers to come out. So what we did, even though it wasn't part of a grant or the budget, and it wasn't pre-planned, but we felt like we had to give something back to them. So we had this photo voice art of living workshop. And what it had was like stress relief, drumming circles. We had some motivational speakers come in who talked about coping with daily life stress and anger management. And we gave them certificates. We had hand massages. We taught them a little bit of Tai Chi and breathing techniques, just a little relaxation session for the participants. So the next steps. Right now, there's still follow-up photo voice exhibitions at different community locations. They're still going on. We are developing the curriculum for the training of lay health advisors with all the factors that we have identified through the photo voice sessions. And we are recruiting lay health advisors as well. And once the recruiting is done and the curriculum is developed, we'll go on to the training of lay health advisors. Lastly, I'd like to talk about some of the quotes by the participants. This project made me realize that no matter what I go through, there will always be a better way, and others are doing worse than I. Another participant said, I learned that I can be in a room full of people and not be stressed out. I can open up. And there's another quote. By verbalizing the causes of stress, I found that by focusing on alternatives, I may not get as upset and my blood pressure may remain more stable. At the end, I'd like to thank my supervisor, Dr. Mahbuba Musavo, and the Case Center for Reducing Health Disparities, Case Western, Metro Health, our partners, and of course, mostly the Photo West participants and NIH. Thank you.
Thank you.